The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Don't you just love to hear that introduction, knowing Middle East Radio Forum is going to be on today? I hope you do. It's May 21, 2023. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today, well into the 20th year of broadcast. And I have to mention that Middle East Radio Forum will not be broadcast in July or August this year. We will start up again in September due to a medical situation I have. I'm not supposed to work for 60 days after this procedure, so that's why it's going to be held in abeyance for 2 months. But God willing, we'll start again in September. May 21, 2023, I thank you for listening. Please spread the word about this show. It's available everywhere in the world on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. And the show is so popular, it's rebroadcast every Saturday evening on this station from 9 to 10 p.m. Worldwide available, local available. What else could you ask for? Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about this show. And we have a wonderful guest again, coming back again, Ken Abramowitz. But, of course, we usually start off and do today with Yoni Titi. Go ahead, Yoni. Ruin my day.
In recent days, we have seen, first, the ultra-Orthodox members of Knesset demand a huge increase in funding because it's budget time. In response, we saw television host Galit Gutman state the ultra-Orthodox are sucking our blood and milking our society. Not to be outdone, former head of the Shabak, Carmi Gilon, who could not keep Yitzhak Rabin alive, opined, the Haredim and the more religious Zionist politicians are the Jewish Jihad. Believe the words from the Haredim and the religious Zionists aren't really that much better. So I call on both sides just to shut up. But we have to address the elephant in the room first. Israel is basically made up of four different groups when it comes to Judaism, and Reform and Conservative don't really play into this. Group number one are religious Jews that believe in serving in the military. Group number two are the ultra-Orthodox, where the vast majority do not believe in serving in the military, nor working for the most part. They think that studying Torah all day is the correct path. Group three, they believe in God and the Torah. They just want to have more freedom in how they do it. For example, they would not eat non-kosher food, but they would like to watch football on Shabbat, and they admit they're sinners. They don't want any part of Reformed or Conservative anything. Group number four are the godless communists. And my computer just messed up on me. Are godless communists that hate Judaism and the Torah. So here is where I come down on all this. I believe that the top 10% in the Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox world should, in fact, study Torah at state expense, but in a more structured way. They should live in a military-type environment, kind of like what our sons have to go through when they go to the IDF. They must do strenuous physical workouts, learn hand-to-hand combat, learn to shoot pistols and rifles, and then they should take those issued weapons home and do it just like the Swiss do it. They keep that gun for the rest of their life. And Israel should start doing the same thing for combat soldiers in the IDF. The other 90% need to be plugged into programs that will benefit not only themselves long-term, but the state. The above would allow the state to restructure the funding of the ultra-Orthodox world so the rest of us, meaning groups one through three, would feel better about the situation. Group four can never be happy, and that's just reality. And they show their stupidity every week in their demonstrations on Motzei Shabbat. But we must find a path to bridge the gaps between our different groups in society that matter. And computer problem, why is my computer going?
Hello?
Anyway, yeah, I'm here. I just got computer issues. So anyway, we need to solve this problem. We need to solve it now so that the country can have a future. And I'm going just off the top of my head, Bill, just so you know. In the good news, the FDA of the United States of America has opened an office in Tel Aviv so that we can dramatically shorten the time between when Israeli medical products are invented and when they can hit the American market. So once again, Israel is working to ease human suffering and bring relief to those that are sick. Sorry for the computer issues.
Including the Arab world, the Muslim world, they get the benefit also of Israeli research and know-how.
Absolutely. And so they should, so that one day, like most of the Arab world, a lot of it has woken up and said, you know what, this thing called Israel is not such a bad idea, and we just got to get the Palestinians to think that way and understand they will never have a state on our land, and they could leave or they could become the equivalent of a holder of a green card, and then they'd be welcome to stay, but they will never do that.
Okay, Yoni, thank you very much. I look forward to hearing you next week when you're on the show when Mayor Jalovitz is the host.
See you next week, and I got to get a new computer now between now and next week.
Okay, good luck with that. Ken Abramowitz, are you with us?
Yes, here I am.
Ken, thank you very much. I appreciate the fact that you share your expertise on this show. You've been on several times. Very brief introduction. You're the founder of SaveTheWest.com. That's one word. SaveTheWest.com. That's a website. You're the author of the Multi-Front War book, Threat Analysis Dedicated to Saving Western Civilization, which is Democracy, aided by giving 100 speeches per year as a public service. That's amazing. It's about every third day you're giving a speech. That's terrific. So anyway.
That's right. I'm determined to help the cause.
And give the listeners an idea what SaveTheWest.com, the website's all about, and what they can expect to find when they go there.
Well, I write an article every 2 weeks, and I have a variety of friends who write an article every 2 weeks. So between me and my friends, we have a fresh article every week on, I've identified that America's fighting about 100 challenges. So each week I try to identify one of the challenges and write like a think piece, not long, 500 pages, 500 words, 750 words at most, a quick think piece on one of the 100 issues that we face. And similarly with my friends who are basically ghostwriters for me. And so we have a comprehensive understanding of what's wrong. We simultaneously look at the 100 issues and basically connect the dots and help the public and our congressmen, senators, connect the dots with us.
And how long has SaveTheWest.com been in existence?
It's getting close to 10 years.
And are there archives so people can check out some of the older issues?
Yes. Yes, all the older issues are on the website.
Okay, so, well, I have 60 days to go review it and learn everything on there, because I won't be working.
That's
so
right.
that'll be a good project for me. Thank you very much. Okay, Ken, we're going to talk today about the government in Israel. Now, we've had several elections in the last few years, and can you explain why there were so many elections, first of all?
Well, the country is split in half, as is America. A lot of the things, a lot of the strange things going on in America are going on in Israel. So you have the country split roughly in half, and neither side was able to deliver a knockout blow, so to speak, to the others, until finally the opposition took control about a year ago and stayed in power for about a year and a half and did a terrible job making all the mistakes that you would expect of a poorly managed opposition. And that got people angry enough or upset enough to bring back the Netanyahu government, which I call the government of the adults. And we had in Israel had the government of the children. And now the adults are in control and they have to show that they're adults and they have to manage properly. And so that's why finally the Netanyahu government, which is the Likud government, which is the equivalent of a Republican government, is back in power.
Okay. Is there any alternative to Netanyahu being in power in terms of Israel's prosperity and survival?
Not really. Netanyahu towers over the other Republican or Likud type members. But in the Likud party, there's about 32 members who are in Knesset. So there's a handful. Like any leader, as you know, doesn't last forever. And there's about five leaders behind Netanyahu who are not as famous and not as capable, but who would, by definition, rise to the challenge and take over from him when the days come. I mean, he's prime minister for the next 4 years, and I would expect him to last through that period of time. But then he'll be roughly 75, and it could be that he steps down. He's never publicly indicated what he would do. Right now, he's just focused on finishing his 4 years.
Okay. Now, we've seen a video of people marching in Israel, protesting, apparently protesting judicial reform. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, they're protesting. And about, I have an expression that when there's protests that are unfounded, that behind them are 10% evil people who are creating the ideas, and 90% are just useful idiots, to quote Lenin. So the protests are, as I just said, 90% of the protesters are useful idiots, and they're arguing against judicial reform, which is quite ironic because the Americans, I'm a believer in the American system, and I also am respectful of the wisdom of the Torah. And in both the American system and the wisdom of the Torah, the prime minister or the president picks the Supreme Court justices. Only in Israel do the Supreme Court justices elect themselves.
Well, why it's is like, the... Like a, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So it's like a special club that, to me, out of control. And it was created in the early 90s by the Supreme Court justice head at that time, Aaron Barak. And he created a system whereby the Supreme Court elected itself. And to me, this is a... an affront to democracy, and no American would tolerate this for a second. And even in the Bible, Moses' father-in-law, Yitro, gave him advice and said, you pick the judges, and so that the judges will, and then basically you be the Supreme Court, you most Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, you be the Supreme Court, but you pick the judges under you. So under no circumstances should the judges be picking judges, and this has to change.
Okay. Is that why the new government is pushing judicial reform?
Yes, because the Supreme Court, basically the Supreme Court is running the country. Meanwhile, you have an elected prime minister, an elected Knesset, whose power is determined by the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court wasn't elected. You can't have a democracy where an unelected Supreme Court is making the decisions. So not only does the Supreme Court second-guess the prime minister, it also second-guesses the Knesset. And furthermore, the Supreme Court implants the attorney general, which, as you know, in America is picked by the president, so that whenever the prime minister wants to do something, he has to get permission of the attorney general, who was put there by the unelected Supreme Court. So you have an unelected Supreme Court putting an unelected attorney general basically in charge of the government. It makes no sense.
So how is the judicial reform going? I mean, are the protests preventing from happening? I mean, how effective are the protests? And is there any alternative to these useful idiots continuing to do their protests?
Well, the useful idiots have been worked up emotionally by the 10% evil people who are the opposition. And they're using the useful idiots to put pressure on the government to actually cause the government to fall. The ulterior motive of the opposition is to use the judicial reform as an excuse to claim that the government should fall. And in American terms, we would call this a coup. And when there's a coup, what happens in the olden times? What do you do to coup members who illegally try to get rid of the king or the queen or the president or the prime minister? In the olden days, the coup members would be hung. Well, we don't hang people anymore. I think the Netanyahu government has to start arresting some of these ringleaders.
There seems a lot of brain dead Israelis out there marching with signs.
Yes, because they've been ill informed by the ringleaders to flip reality. So they think they're fighting for democracy. They're fighting against democracy, but they're too stupid to know that.
Okay, Ken, I'm coming on the first break of today's show. As you know, there are four segments with three breaks. The computer will cut us off if we don't end. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Next Sunday, Mayor Jolovitz returns. And I thank you for listening. I thank you for spreading the word about this show. And I especially thank you for using the services of the advertisers. As you know, if you've been listening, I've lost three advertisers, actually four advertisers recently, and I can't afford to lose any more of them. I'm trying to get some more advertisers, but I haven't had any luck in that way. But please continue to use the services of the advertisers, and when you do, please let them know you're doing so because they advertise on this program. They need to know that their advertising dollars are well spent. People have asked how they can help the show if they can't use the advertisers. Direct donations to help the cost of the show would be helpful. You can send a check to me, William J. Wolf, at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, 85020. The address again, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, 85020. Thanks for listening. Thanks for using the service of the advertisers. And thanks for any kind of direct donations you can send to me. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Ken Abramowitz. Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Shuttleman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale. Has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services. Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high volume
impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free, 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Ken Abramowitz is my very special guest today. He's been on the show several times. Always a pleasure to have him on. And Ken, we are talking about Israeli useful idiots who somehow think that the judicial reform is going to work against democracy when it's actually the opposite. It's going to work toward democracy so that the court can't appoint itself, basically. There's no checks and balances when that happens. Go ahead, please.
No, that's, you're exactly correct. Now there's no checks and balances on the court. And as you know, in America, we have checks and balances on everything. And so Israel's out of whack with all the other democracies in the world. And the new government is trying to put them back into whack, so to speak, and have a normal relationship between the executive branch, the judiciary, and the legislative branch. And so the government's working diligently on this reform process, and the opposition is basically stonewalling them because the opposition is not looking for a solution. The opposition is looking for the end of the government. And in a parliamentary democracy, a government can doesn't have to wait the 4 years that it's elected for. It can fall earlier. So they're basically using this to initiate a coup. And so the government has to stay strong and not let itself succumb to the coup.
Yes, that's true. But is there any way that these useful idiots can be educated out of their idiocy? I mean, I would think these are intelligent people, but basically with their actions, they're showing that they're not. How do you educate them to understand that they're working against their own self-interest?
You know, I say that to myself all the time. Now, the government did make a mistake in the sense that when you want to do something big in the political world, you have to explain yourself. It's just normal public relations. You have to, the prime minister has to be explaining what he's doing. His ministers have to be explaining what they're doing. As you know, like as an American, you need surrogates to explain what you're doing. You have to be on the local TV shows, the local radio shows. You have to be interviewed in the newspapers. So they never ran a big public relations campaign. So the useful idiots never were educated by the government. So what happened is the opposition said, we'll fill that void. We'll purposely miseducate the useful idiot, and we'll take control over them because the government isn't doing its job marketing its program and explaining to the people why it's proposing to do what it's doing. And so in that sense, some of this problem is caused by the government itself. In its inability to create a proper public relations campaign.
You know, Ken, it seems like for the history of Israel, its public relations has been solely lacking in any type of intelligence and effectiveness. Public relations regarding the wars, regarding the Palestinian situation, regarding now the judicial, it seems like the Israeli government doesn't know how to do public relations. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're exactly right. Now, to add to your observation is when you have a democracy that's out of control, and let's just say you have 10 people in a room trying to design a public relations campaign, and the 10 of them can't agree on each other, with each other, and you have factions. You know, three of them say this, four say that, three say that. And then the meeting's over, and then a newspaper interviews someone. You can imagine that you have a very weak public relations campaign because you have public relations by committee. Well, you can't do that. You have to have the prime minister has to say, this is the message. And the person, the next man, number two, three, four, five, six, seven, all the way down, has to say, yes, Mr. Prime Minister, this is the message. I'm going to say you're be loyal to your message. And then you have one unified message. And so the reason when you have a democracy out of control, and when you have a leader who's not sufficiently leading, unfortunately, then you get a massive amount of different information, which creates a garbled message, which is not effective because the opposition has one message. Oppositions run by the Communist Party always have one message, and they always stay on message. And anyone who doesn't stay on message is fired. And so that's why the communist oppositions are better at running PR campaigns than true democracies.
You know, Ken, I would volunteer Yoni Tidi. I would volunteer Mayor Jalovitz. I'll volunteer myself to take over the public relations for Israel. I guarantee you any one of the three of us would do a great job, much better than is being done now. But, of course, they're not going to hire any of us to do so. In any event, Ken, can you explain whether or not there are any outside enemies backing this, and I'll call it insurrectionists, because they are. These are real insurrectionists.
Yes, there's one major outside enemy. I hate to say this, and maybe enemy is too strong of a word. There's three types of relationships that countries have with each other. You can be friends, obviously. You can be enemies, obviously. But most countries are neither friends nor enemies of each other. They're what we call frenemies. In other words, a half friend, a half enemy. You know, they're friends on this issue and an enemy on that issue. So America has gone from being a friend of Israel to being a frenemy of Israel under the Biden administration. And so as part of, I'm not calling America an enemy, it's a frenemy. So, for example, on military affairs, America's a friend, supplying almost $4 billion of equipment, high-technology equipment to Israel. No one else does that. So so America's a friend in the morning, so to speak, on military affairs, but then it becomes an enemy in the afternoon on political affairs because the U.S. government is seeking regime change in Israel. By the way, it's not seeking regime change in Iran, China, North Korea, or Russia, Cuba, or Venezuela, but it's Israel is the only country that the American government is seeking regime change. So the American fingerprints are all behind these communist insurrectionists in Israel.
Okay, the obvious question, I try to anticipate the audience's questions. Why would the United States be seeking this change and not in any of these other countries, which are obviously many, many are enemies of Israel and the United States?
Yes. You're asking why is the world upside down? Well, there's two things America wants from the Israeli government that it cannot get from Netanyahu. It wants a Palestinian state, which will immediately get taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood, which is called Hamas in the area. And there's many people in the administration that are Muslim Brotherhood sympathizers. So there's elements in the U.S. government that want the Palestinian state, want Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, to take over, and Netanyahu won't allow that. By the way, it's not in the interest of America for Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, to take over, but they're not acting in America's self-interest. Think of them as rogue players within the Biden administration influencing policy to be contrary to American national security interests.
Okay, Ken, I got to stop you there. We're coming up on the next break. You can pick it up after the break. And I would say that there's obvious, we've talked about this so many times on the show, the Palestinians do not want a state living in peace next to Israel. They want everything. They want all Jews dead. And apparently the U.S. administration either doesn't understand that or wants to ignore it. I can't say which it is. In any event, you're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. Please support the show by using the services of the advertisers. As you well know, this is a brokered show in its 20th year. We have to buy the time from the station. The only way we can do that is we have advertisers, and we have wonderful listeners who support the advertisers. But you've got to let them know you're doing so because they advertised on this program. Please stay with us. We'll be right back for this very important conversation with Ken Abramowitz. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale. Has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini-mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Abramowitz. And I will remind you that MRF is going off the air July and August, but we will be returning, God willing, in September. So please understand this is beyond my control. July and August, no MRF, but we should start again in September. Ken, I want to continue to talk about these outside enemies of Israel. And you're talking about enemies within the Biden administration. Can you expand on that a little bit more, please?
Yes. Well, relative to Israel, there's two rogue factions within the Biden administration. One we just discussed, people who want a Palestinian state with the ulterior motive that it will be taken over by Hamas, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, because they're Muslim Brotherhood sympathizers. Well, there's another group of rogue
Biden employees and appointees, and they are partial to Iran, and they're Iran sympathizers, and they want Iran to have a nuclear bomb capability, and Netanyahu stands in the way of that, as well as the Palestinian state. So they figure if they can get rid of Netanyahu and replace him with basically a vassal, make Israel a vassal state of America, of these rogue elements within the Biden administration, you'll have the new government will be basically communist sympathizers and insurrectionists will be so grateful to the U.S. that they'll allow a Palestinian state and allow Iran to have nuclear weapons, even though it's not in Israel's national security interest. And by the way, it's not in America's national security interest either. And so so the fingerprints of the Biden administration are all over this insurrection.
Okay, Ken, how can anyone want Iran to have an atomic weapon other than, I guess, people in Iran? I mean, Israel is the little Satan. The United States is the great Satan. They're sworn to destroy both countries. And the only way, obviously, they could do it is with atomic weapons. What possible reason would anybody within the U.S. government or within the United States, for that matter, want Iran to have atomic weapons? That just blows my mind.
Well, I think the fingerprints behind these rogue elements are President Obama. And President Obama was Muslim, is Muslim, and he engaged in the Iran agreement, which basically gave Iran a $150 billion financing of their nuclear project. And so he clearly demonstrated that when he was in power, he wanted Iran to have nuclear weapons. And I think behind the scenes, he's still in power, and he still wants Iran to have nuclear weapons because he's Muslim, and he feels a sympathy to the Iranian Shiite Muslims.
In other words, give them the ability to destroy the United States.
Yes.
I'm just having a hard time wrapping my brain about that. It doesn't just...
Well, some of it is not exactly rational. In other words, if you're President Obama and his appointees pulling the strings behind the Biden administration and Iran gets a nuclear weapon and they use it and blow up America, that means they're blowing up the advisors who are giving this misinformation to the U.S. government. Why would they do that? Are they suicidal? And it's hard to understand the motivations of people like this. It could be because of money. If you remember, in the Iran deal, Iran got something like $1.8 billion of cash. And there's never been any accounting of where that cash went to. And I can't prove this at all. But I can't believe that Obama and Biden and other members of the negotiating teams were not getting paid money by Iran.
Well, you would think that they would love their children and their other relatives more than they would love money. But I guess I'm wrong about that. It's just I cannot understand why anybody would want to give Iran or allow them to have atomic weapons when they've stated what they want to do with it. I don't get it.
Yes. Now, maybe in their mind, they're saying that every other major religion has a nuclear weapon except the Shiites. And so it won't, in their minds, maybe they're saying to themselves, it won't lead to a nuclear war, but it'll give Iran an ability to not get pushed around, so to speak, by a nuclear America or potentially nuclear Israel or a nuclear Pakistan. And so it'll lead to a balance of power. Maybe that's what they're thinking in their warped minds. In their minds, they're not committing treason. They're just leveling the playing field between the major powers of the world.
Okay, Ken, I've got to stop you there. One more break before the final segment. Thankfully, the final segment is the longest segment. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. Please use the services of the advertisers. Let them know you're doing so because they advertise on this program. Direct donations are certainly welcome. Send a check to me, William Wolf, at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, 85020. Excuse me. And as I've mentioned, MRF will not be broadcast July and August because of a medical situation I have. And God willing, it'll be back in September. So please don't get discouraged when you turn on the radio in July and August and you find out that it's not being broadcast. We expect to start again in September. Please stay with us. We're right back with my tremendous guest here, Ken Abramowitz. Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum. Check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's very important edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Abramowitz. Ken, before we go further with our discussions, I would like to take a call. Jock from Scottsdale. Go ahead, Jock. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Why does the government not take an effort to pursue with the Israeli media to try to take positions to re-educate the useful idiots, as they're called, in that sector of the public? It seems those are the ones that can make the decision and get those useful idiots on the right path to understanding what democracy is, and that the Supreme Court, as it exists, is not promoting a democracy at all.
Well, thank you for your question. The Republican Party in America and the Likud Party in Israel, which is the equivalent of the Republican Party, both have a difficulty with messaging. And so it's part of a bigger problem of good guys do not know how to message properly, but bad guys know how to message improperly. Now, one of the ways that the bad guys work is they scare people, purposely scare people by exaggerating a given issue and then getting people emotionally worked up into a frenzy. Good guys don't do that. And so we good guys try to use rationality. Bad guys use emotions. And so the good guys, when you're going to have a rational-based campaign as a rational Republican, which is, as I've said, is called Likud in Israel, you have to have some very high-caliber people behind it. And within the government, just like in America, you only can pay a certain amount of money in the government. The talent that Israel needs and America needs is not available within the government. The people just aren't high-powered enough. They need, instead of paying people normal government salaries, they have to bring in consultants that you pay hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions to in terms of creating a team of people that are able to distill a rational policy and then disseminate it throughout the system, through the surrogates of the prime minister, through the media, through the press, through the websites, through the social media accounts of the government ministers. They need a high-powered campaign, and both the Republicans and the Likud members suffer from an inability to forcefully convey their true narrative against the false narrative of the bad guys.
Okay, thanks for that question, Jack. Ken, we do have an email here. Let's see here. This is from Lori in Seattle, Washington. Question, with the threats we are hearing lately from Netanyahu's coalition partners, what do you think are the chances that the current government will last for 4 years?
Well, that's a good question. Historically, government coalitions last for about 3 years because the wheels start falling off, so to speak, in the third year. So I see no reason why the government shouldn't last 3 years, the average, and I can even say that it should last 4 years, but I'm just saying historically they don't last 4 years. And the major reason why the government's not going to fall is because no one wants a new election. Remember, the government has 64 seats out of 120 in the Knesset, and so that doesn't sound like a huge majority, but it's a majority. And so the Netanyahu government won. So once you have a new election, as you know with elections, anything can happen in a new election. So it's highly in the interest of all the members of the Likud-led coalition to keep their emotions in check and stay within the confines of the current government.
Okay, thanks for that question. Ken, let's talk a little bit about China. China just seems to have its tentacles everywhere. Is China playing a bigger role now in the Middle East than it has in the past? And what can Israel do about that?
Yes, because America is not playing their usual role in terms of leading the free world for a variety of reasons. Some of it is due to incompetence. Some of it is due to corruption. Some of it is due to various rogue factions within the government that I addressed. So America is the leader of the free world is basically not leading the free world. So what happens? So countries that thought that America had its back now get worried. And they, therefore, they become open to China, which is purposely trying to fill the void of American incompetence or strategy, depending how you look at it. And so many, many of the countries are looking for guidance from China, not guidance from America. I think after America left Afghanistan in that purposely disgraceful manner, which I think was planned that way, I think basically nobody trusts America anymore. And well, China is taking advantage of that.
Well, if you recall the chaos when the United States was leaving Vietnam with people trying to get on the helicopters, falling to their deaths and so on, it's just unbelievable. How can anybody trust the United States anymore?
Right, right.
Anyway, what about culturally strong? I mean, do you feel Israel is more culturally strong than the United States? And if so, why?
Yes, it's definitely more culturally strong, and it's conceptually healthier society than America. The reason I say that is that America is 90% Christian in round numbers. Israel is 80% Jewish in round numbers. And the strength behind the Christians and the Jews are different, but somewhat similar. The strength behind the Christians is the 30% roughly that are evangelical. So let's just say 30% of the Christians in America are passionately pro-America, pro-religion, pro-Constitution, Bill of Rights, all the nice, wonderful things.
And pro-Israel, by the way, and pro-Israel.
Yes, 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 yes. Very healthy, healthy people, culturally healthy people. Now, in Israel, about a third of the population is religious, and it's similar to the evangelical in terms of size, and they provide the energy and excitement and passion behind the religion and behind the government and behind the country. Now, there's another third of Jews who are not officially called religious, but let's call them religious appreciative, they have compassion for and they respect religion, even though they might not be officially called religious in Israel terms. They still obey the holidays and in American terms they would be called religious, but in Israel terms they're called secular. But the point I'm getting to is the one third that are religious and the one third that are religious respecting, so to speak, creates two thirds of the population. That is very healthy. Whereas in America, we only have the one third, so to speak, evangelicals. We don't have that second third, so to speak, of people who are religious respecting, not to the same degree as America. That's one issue. Second issue is Israel does not separate church and state or synagogue and state. America does. So when there's a holiday, Israel's not embarrassed to celebrate a Jewish holiday. I'm in Israel now, and I was just here for Jerusalem Day, which is a 50-year-old holiday celebrating the reunification of Jerusalem. And there's a flag march that goes with it, and usually the march is separate between the boys and the girls. But you had all these high school kids, all these college kids, jumping up and down in excitement on the flag march. We don't have something like that in America. So the passion here is so much higher. And the non-separation of synagogue and state allows the government to actively encourage and be involved and support. And the ministers in the government and the prime minister, everyone supports these wonderful holidays, as opposed to in America, where the government doesn't really get involved in Christian holidays. They say, well, you know, that's not the role of the government.
Okay. Can you give the current Israeli government a grade? And I'd like you to give us some idea of how you feel that they're going to survive these protests.
Yes, I'll give the current Israeli government has the potential to get an A. And right now, I'd have to give them a B minus, unfortunately, because because the issue that I mentioned, they mismanaged the public relations campaign. You know, you say to yourself, it's not that complicated to hire a high-powered PR firm, pay them a bunch of money that they're asking for, get the talent that they have, create a strategy that makes sense, and then educate the Israeli population as to why the judicial reform is in their direct self-interest. It's not complicated stuff here, but they didn't do it. So that's why I have to give them a B-, even though their potential is for an A. And I hope that they come to their senses and start deserving more. I think they have to get some victory in the judicial reform. There's a whole variety of issues that have to be reformed in judicial reform, let's just say 5 or 10 issues. And they don't have to do all 5 or 10 right away. They can do 1 or 2 and then another 3 and another 4. So I think they're going to split up judicial reform into like bite-sized pieces, so to speak, and then vote, since they have the majority, they can vote. If the opposition keeps stonewalling, then I think the majority has to just start voting on judicial reform, on less controversial aspects of it, and then work up to more controversial aspects in conjunction with a PR campaign, which explains to the useful idiots why they're useful idiots.
Okay. Ken, there's been some news recently about Iran obtaining enough atomic material for several bombs, 4 or 5 atomic warheads. I'm sure you've heard about that. And with their claim that they're going to use them to destroy the small state and then the great state, what is Israel going to do? What can they do? What can't they do? Where do you think this is leading us?
Well, Iran is a grave dilemma, and for everybody. And since you had just asked me about grades, let me hand out a few other grades. America's relationship with Iran gets an F. Europe's relationship with Iran gets an F. And Israel's relationship with Iran gets a B-. So all the democracies have failed in confronting Iran. By the way, all the democracies made all the same mistakes of World War II, where they didn't confront the lunatics in Germany and the lunatics in Japan, allowed them to become too strong, and then created World War II. So all of our democracies failed us wherever we are. Israel, at least, is the only country directly confronting Iran. It's confronting Iran with all of Iran's proxies, and also occasionally it's blowing up things in Iran, either through the Mossad or through the IDF. So Israel is basically saving Western civilization from Iran.
1 minute, please. 1 minute, Ken.
Yes. And Western civilization is unappreciative of Israel's attempt to save everybody. You can't make this stuff up. It's so sad. But all the democracies should be praising Israel and helping Israel defeat Iran, not making life difficult for Israel.
Ken Abramowitz, thank you very much. Tell us your website again.
SaveTheWest.com. Everyone should subscribe to SaveTheWest.com, and they'll get my articles every week and past articles. And I have a webinar once a month. And so please join in. You'll learn a lot.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. You're a terrific guest. I look forward to having you on again. Probably won't be before you return to the program in September. I hate to say it, but we're not going to be broadcasting July or August. September, I'll probably have you on again if that's available.
Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
Thank you very much. Next Sunday, Mayor Jalovitz returns. He's going to discuss Israel's political future at the crossroads with more foes than friends. As you know, if you've listened to Mayor before, he's a terrific host, very, very knowledgeable about all things Israel. So please do spread the word about this show. Let other people know about it. Somebody might not know about it who would love to listen if they only knew about it. Again, please help me bring the show to you. Use the services of the advertisers. Direct donations are certainly welcome. This show is also broadcast every Saturday evening at 9 o'clock on the station. So there's many, many ways to listen. There's podcasts of this show and a lot of other old shows available. Just go to the website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. Go to the podcast. You can listen to old shows anytime you like. I'd like to thank you for listening. I thank you for supporting Middle East Radio Forum. I thank you for getting the word out that we exist. Very, very important. We're doing this as, I think, a public service because I think the information is critically important to spread to other people. And I hope everybody has a wonderful day and look forward to having you on with Mayor Jalovitz next Sunday.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.